How to create cash generating habits that stick. Welcome to session number three. So we're going to talk today about how to dream again. What are we, 18 days in now? I will be going on for the next 9 days, so 27 days, and we'll begin our exercises. But I wanted to talk about dreaming again. You know, so many people just let go of their dreams, and it's one of the biggest tragedies in the world. You know, I think someone said that the graveyard is one of the saddest places to be because it's where a lot of people's dreams died with them and they never really lived them out. And so, you know, I think that's a terrible shame, and I'm sure you can appreciate that too. So 2 weeks ago, I was with my sweetheart, my wife, on our second honeymoon, celebrating our first anniversary. So yay, congratulations for me. And you know, so we went to Miami, Florida, and we were staying at Coral Gables in, I don't know if you're familiar with that, I think it's a city. I'm not too quite sure on the geography and the cities in America, how it works exactly, because I understand Miami's a city, but Coral Gables is a city, so it's like, I don't know if it's a city within a city. I don't know how it works, you know. I was a bit confused out there. Anyway, so we were staying with my wife's uncle and aunt, and, you know, they live in a pretty affluent neighborhood, and as you can imagine, we saw some pretty nice houses, okay? I mean, some were just way over the top. I mean, really. You know, I'm such a hater. Anyway, they were ridiculously opulent. They were beautiful, okay? They were beautiful. Lavish manicured gardens, high ceilings, beautiful gates, luxury cars on a driveway that probably add up to the price of another house. You know, it's like a house on your house. I mean, I know people have like a guest house, but it's like they got a guest house and they got another house on their properties with the amount of cars, the value of the cars they had there. And, you know, I could go on and on, you know, talk about living large. I mean, so, you know, then my wife and I, we went on one of those cruises, you know, that they take you on a boat in Miami, and you go and you look at the rich and famous people's houses. And I think one of the islands was called Star Islands. There was more than one. And I think, yeah, Star Island was like the main attraction or something like that. And anyway, so, I mean, the guy was telling us, you know, the waterfront properties were like 35 million starting money kind of thing. I was like, wow, 35 million. Like, that's kind of like the net worth you hear of an individual. But the fact that somebody has that cash to spend on a house was amazing. And, you know, most of these people don't even live in these houses. They just visit them. And, you know, we saw different people's houses. We saw David Beckham's house being built. We saw the plot where their house from the movie Scarface, I don't know if you've ever seen that, where that used to be. And I say used to be because the guy conducting the tour was telling us how this woman had brought it for, I don't know if my numbers are right, but I think he said 65 million or something like that, right? So she spent 65 million on the house, but guess what? She decides she didn't like it. And so she knocked it down and is spending tens of millions to rebuild. And I thought, well, that's a shame, I guess, in terms of the history of the house. So that's gone, but you know, never mind. She knocked it down and spent tens of millions. Or she's spending. The house isn't actually finished. It was just like a construction site. But I thought, whoa, like people got money to spend, man. And we saw Naomi Campbell, the supermodel's house. If you don't know who she is, you can just Google her. Beautiful woman. I love my wife. Just saying. All right. Just saying. And she bought it with her billionaire boyfriend, right? And we saw Elizabeth Taylor's house, you know, a whole bunch of music artists, producers, athletes, and business moguls. But the biggest house on the island belonged to the guy who accidentally created or discovered Viagra. I'm not exactly sure what the story is. I haven't looked that deeply into it, but apparently it was an accident or something. And well, he sold Viagra to Pfizer, and I understand he's a billionaire now. And you know, the funny thing about his house is it's the only one that sticks out. Oh dear, yeah, that was terrible. Anyway, let's just move on. Enough of my lame jokes. You know, well, I think he's in his 80s or something like that, and he lives there with his wife. by the way, she's 25, right? And she must really love him. Or maybe he really loves her. I don't know. I wonder sometimes if he actually makes use of his invention. Never mind. If you ever see me with a black eye, it's because my wife just heard me make this recording, or she just listened to it. So, you know, I actually got a lot of stick. I still get stick for my wedding speech, and you know, she's still actually going on about it. I didn't think it was that bad, but anyway, people tell me different. But back to this house that Viagra erected. Okay, that was the last one. Okay, I swear. All right. That's the last one. Well, for today anyway. All right. Today. Just today. All right. So I just probably earned myself two black eyes. But back to this house. This guy, he has, these palm trees, right? And he imported them from South Africa. And the cost to do it was $10,000 a piece. Okay. Guess how many of them he has? 32 of them. All right. So you could do the math on that. 320,000 on trees. You know, amazing. So we saw amazing properties and homes. And you know, it got me thinking, this goes back to, you know, our session, the champion state of mind. And you know, these houses are proof that the stories that, you know, the monster within tells us about our dreams not being possible, it's just a load of nonsense. You know, I just saw these houses and I thought, you know, people do live their dreams. They do live their dreams. And I mean, I'm not sure everybody's going to discover Viagra or be a famous actor, but you know, regular people do get to live the epic life they always dreamed of. Okay. They get to live in the house they always wanted to call home. They get to drive the car, the dream car, you know, that they had a poster on their bedroom wall as a kid, you know, and going through the neighborhoods in Coral Gables where my aunt and uncle live, my wife's aunt and uncle, but you know, I call them, uncle and aunt too. They gave us such a warm welcome. I felt so at home with them. Lovely people. So hi, Uncle James and Auntie Verna, if you're listening. And so anyway, I thought, wow, you know, it happens to a lot of people. A lot of people who get to live their dreams. And none of these people were famous. They were regular people who have done well for themselves and worked hard until their dreams came true. And, you know, they weren't all born with silver spoons in their mouths. Some of them grew up poor, like really poor. And some of them just average, you know, and today they're living their dreams. And, you know, it just goes to show, it goes to prove that it happens to regular people every day. Maybe you should, you know, go to a nice area and just look through those houses and you'll see that there are people that actually do live there. People do live their dreams, right? It's not like some make-believe thing on TV. It's actually for real, right? And, you know, I bet some of those people never had someone positive encouraging them. Some of them probably did, but I'll bet you some of them didn't. You know, they probably had people tell them they wouldn't make it, that they may not, you know, they may not even have known anybody around them, friends or family, who had ever been successful. You know, maybe every person that they had ever known in their entire lives was poor. They didn't even have anybody to mentor them, but they were determined to have the life that they wanted. And so guess what? Even if nobody around you is successful, you will be the first. All right. So just decide it's gonna be. All right. So it's time to dream again. It's time to dream. You know, if you've ever stopped, then you definitely need to start again, right? What did you dream of as a kid? Is there anything that you wanted in your life that was, you know, a dream then, which is reality today? You know, I'm sure there's something. It might even be something you're taking for granted right now, you know, and, you know, I can guarantee you some of your dreams have come true already. Okay. Come on. Just think about it. What is it? You know, maybe was it a romantic relationship? Was it a physical transformation? You know, the grades you wanted, you got into that college you wanted, you know, the job you wanted, that dress or shoes that you never thought you'd get, that vacation destination you thought you'd never see. It happened, didn't it? You got there. It was a dream and now it's a reality, or it was a reality. Well, guess what? Money is no different. Your body is no different. The epic life you dream of is no different. You have to look at something that you work to accomplish and look at whatever it is that you want to achieve and say to yourself, this too will happen just like the other thing did. So for me, I have a few examples, okay? I used to be really skinny, all right? I had an athletic frame, I had definition, but, you know, I was still skinny. And, you know, I'm one of those people, you're probably going to get really annoyed with this, but I'm one of those people who can eat, and still can't put on weight. All right. Now that's okay if, you know, somebody who's maybe overweight and wishes they were like that. But for somebody who wanted to look athletic and, you know, muscular, that wasn't ideal. Okay. I mean, I remember my wife telling me that when she hugged me, she could feel my spine. This isn't when she was my wife, but I'm talking about when we first got together. Right. And she hugged me and she's saying she could feel my spine. And I wasn't anorexic or anything. You know, I didn't look malnourished. I just had really low body fat, still do, okay? And, you know, though I was well-defined, there wasn't much muscle volume, so I was quite bony, right? Now, when my wife hugs me, she notices the difference. She feels muscle and not bone, you know? And I remember working out to try and put on muscle, and, you know, it took a while, but with consistency, today I now have the body I always wanted. So if I could work hard on my body and get it to the place I want, I can do the exact same with my business and get it to $1 million a month or $100 million a year. Okay. These are goals of mine that I have. Okay. I'm not there at any of those goals yet, but there are goals that I know I will get to achieve. No doubt in my mind. Now, the reason I know this is because look, nobody has the body that I want around me. Okay. No one does, but I have it because every day I did something that nobody else did, you know? And so, you know, the same I know will happen financially, and all you have to do is build habits. Okay. And then those activities necessary for the achievement of your goal will happen automatically because you program them to be your default comfort zone. Okay. So the question is, what habit should you build so that your dreams come true? Now, I was watching a video by, Tai Lopez on YouTube, right? And he was talking about the dreams that we have and how to go about getting them. And, you know, he said something interesting. He said, have you ever heard the saying, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. Now, he was actually quoting Jesus Christ from the Bible in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 7. Okay. I think it's Matthew. Well, it's definitely Matthew 7, but, you know, I might not be quite accurate on the verse there, but, you know, Tai was saying he never truly understood the meaning of that saying. And he said, you know, it's probably true that hardly anybody does, because if they did, they would have told him. So he gave this example. He said, well, let's say you want to make more money. Okay. What most people do is imagine, wow, what would I do if I won the lottery? Man, that would be some, and I got $1 million. And they plan it all out, you know, oh, I'd pay off my house, I'd get a new car, then I'd help my parents, I'd send my kids to a good school, or whatever it is that's important to them. Then after they think about what they would do, they start making pacts and vows with God, right? Or whatever they believe in. And, you know, you may have done this yourself, I know I have. And, you know, you think, oh man, if I could just get ABC, oh man, I promise I'll do XYZ, and so on and so forth. And what we tend to do is ask for the thing that we want. Okay. So the breakthrough that Tai had was never ask for the thing, ask for the knowledge to get the thing. And he says, what you should be doing is asking, seeking, knocking. What you should be asking, seeking, knocking for is not directly what you want, but the knowledge to get what you want. You know, so he gave another example from a textbook he was reading, written for people who are lonely, who want to find love, marriage, happy relationships. And it's the same thing people do with money. People are asking, seeking directly for the thing, going out on lots of dates, okay? Today's the day that fate will just drop the right person into my lap. They'll just walk into my life and everything will be wonderful. You know, but you don't ask, seek, and knock for the thing you want if you're serious about getting it. You ask for the knowledge. He said, once you understand human psychology and you understand things like Dr. David Buss, who wrote a book on how people are attracted to each other, then you will be able to reverse engineer it and find whatever you're looking for in romance. Okay? Same with money and health. People want to have a body that looks like their favorite celebrity. Okay? Now, they say now that there is a higher percentage of seriously obese people than malnourished people in the world. Can you believe that? All right. It used to be the other way around. I mean, you know, I thought it still was, but apparently it's not. So people look at magazines and wish they had a body like that, you know, or this one. And, you know, they're doing it wrong. Okay. Oh man, I want that body. Well, what you should do is figure out nutrition, training, get the knowledge for what gets people fit. Okay. Do the same thing with happiness. Okay. Around 20 to 30% of people in the US are on some kind of antidepressant or high anxiety medication. Isn't that crazy? You know, many of those people will say, you know, I'd just do anything if I could just find happiness and fulfillment. They're asking for happiness and fulfillment. They're seeking fulfillment, knocking on the door for happiness. But if you ask them, well, have you ever read a book on happiness? Have you read the Bible's wisdom on finding peace, joy, fulfillment? Have you read other books on happiness? If you ask those questions of people, the answer is almost invariably no, right? They're just praying, pleading, and wanting stuff, and everybody wants, and not everybody gets, and not everyone gets health, wealth, and happiness, because they are directly seeking health, wealth, and happiness in things and stuff. They don't seek the knowledge. They don't go to the source of how to procure those things. So anything you want in life, don't seek the thing. You seek the knowledge. You know, King Solomon said that wisdom is greater than rubies. You know, rubies were like the most valuable gemstone of his day. Okay, now we're all crazy about diamonds, but it was rubies back then. And wisdom is better than gold. This is another thing he said, you know, he'd say that wisdom is better than gold, the wedge of Ophir, or, you know, choice silver. And, you know, the wedge of Ophir was the best quality gold that you could get. You know, choice silver was the best silver you could get. And he was saying that, you know, wisdom is valuable above all things and nothing is to be compared with her. And, you know, King Solomon, incidentally, is cited as arguably the wisest man to ever have lived on planet Earth. And people also claim he was one of the wealthiest people to ever live on the planet of Earth. And, you know, he was saying that we should seek wisdom over money, essentially. Now, why did he say that? Well, wisdom can give you everything you are seeking for, okay? There's no problem that you have that the right wisdom cannot solve. Okay. Applied wisdom, mind you. Let me just say that. Applied wisdom. Now, wisdom acted on consistently will bring you anything you want on earth. Okay. Whether it's love, money, health, freedom, respect, honor, notoriety. There is nothing you seriously want that wisdom cannot get for you. Okay. So Solomon says wisdom is the principal thing, right? He says, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. You'll read that in the book of Proverbs in the Bible, chapter 4, verse 7, I believe. Very wise words there, right? Now, one of the most popular things being taught today is the philosophy of the movie The Secret. And, you know, there were a few good things in there, all right? But I feel strongly that it is perilous to follow that advice 100%, because I promise you, you do, and you will likely never get what you want. You know, and that's ironic that that film is all about getting what you want. But if you do what that film says on its own, you will never get what you want. Okay. The reason people bought into it was because it was an easy thing. You know, if you want to be wealthy, you just start visualizing yourself as being wealthy, right? Well, I'll just tell you, you can forget that right now. I mean, I promise you, if you go, interview 10 successful, wealthy people, completely randomly, okay, and you ask them what the secret to success is, I am not a gambling man, but I can almost guarantee not even one of them will say it came down to visualization that got them where they are, okay? They'll mention hard work, determination, and what they were doing. And, you know, they'll tell you that they acted consistently on knowledge and wisdom that they had. And as a result, they accumulated these scarce resources called dollars, money, pounds, yen, euro, right? And it's not just from visualization. Now, I will say this, visualization is important in the sense that it's vital that you can see yourself succeeding. Okay, but the act of visualization by itself is not going to passively attract wealth into your life. Visualization is definitely useful, but it's not the major component. Okay, it does help to have an image that you're moving towards. You know, I'm not gonna question that at all. You know, to keep you inspired, to keep you moving forward when things are tough. Okay, but what separates the likes of Bill Gates, Larry Ellison, Donald Trump, and the average Joe is consistently acting on wisdom that they acquired consistently. So remember, don't seek the thing directly, okay? Get the knowledge of how money works, raising capital, developing products, promote the products, facilitating people's decision-making processes to buy things from you. You know, get knowledge of how to keep money and grow money. All right. Don't seek the thing. Seek the knowledge for the thing. Now, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Okay. There is wisdom in the Bible. God governs his kingdom and his righteousness is his right way of doing things. Right. And if you seek the knowledge of his kingdom, how it works, and his way of doing things the right way, all the things that you're seeking after will be added to you by default, just because, you know, you're obeying the laws that have been set in this universe to function, governing health, happiness, wealth, whatever it is, right? So if you will spend your time helping everyone get what they want, you will ultimately get what you want. Okay. Jesus says, if you give, it will be given unto you. Okay. Men will come running over to you to give you their resources to get what you have. So serve others and they will share their resources with you. All right. If they want what you have more than the money in their pockets, you're onto a winner. Okay. And I'll just tell you, there is no idea that is dumb enough that you can't get at least 1 million people to buy into, right? I mean, have you seen Jersey Shore? It's a terrible program. I mean, but people watch it. I mean, no offense to anyone that does, but I mean, really? I mean, it's awful. And the thing is, advertisers know that. And MTV makes money from advertisers who pay to place their products in front of people watching. And on Jersey Shore, it seems people like to watch people getting drunk, sleeping around and fighting, right? And cussing each other out, you know, and I'm sure what you have is of much more value than mindless entertainment. People will buy your stuff, right? So you just need to get into the habit of positioning what you have to offer in the most appealing way possible consistently. And if you're broke, there's only two reasons why you're broke, okay? The reason number one is, you don't hustle hard enough or consistently enough. Okay? That's reason number one. You don't hustle hard enough or consistently enough, right? And reason number two is you don't have the right strategy. if you had both of those on point, you'd have money. It's really as simple as that. If, I mean, I know it's an oversimplification, but essentially those two things, if you've got them on right, there's no way you're going to be broke. If you have the right strategy and you're broke, then you aren't consistent enough in your actions. Okay? As I've told you before, success is inspired by dreams, it's built by persistence, and it's blessed by God. So that's why you need to build habits out of the right actions. And if you're working super hard consistently and you're broke, it's because you have the wrong strategy. All right? That's the only way you can be broke. You have one or both of those things wrong. So get them both right, and there's no way you'll be broke. Okay? You'll always have money. So everybody has a dream. Okay? For some people, it's money. Some people, it's lifestyle. Maybe it might be weight loss. It could be muscle building. It might be love and romance. But whatever it is, if you look at why most people fail, I believe the number one reason most people fail at earning money or weight loss or whatever, it's because they have this dream, right? This thing that they want, and they want to go do it. But the biggest thing is that they take that step, that you know, they just feel that if they take that step forward and they try and they fail, that dream will disappear for them, right? The dream's gone. And so because of that, they are so scared to take that step because, you know, they don't want to lose the dream at all. They won't step. They'll just sit there. And that's why there are so many people in the weight loss market, money-making market, love and romance market who will buy and buy and buy, because that buying of stuff just fuels their dream, right? But they will never act on it, because if the second they try it, it doesn't work, the dream is gone, okay? And for most people, that's the reason. So the key is you have to disassociate yourself from the outcome, all right? If you don't, you're going to be in this cycle forever, buying, not doing, buying, not doing, all right? Subconsciously just fretting, like, what if my dream goes away? You know, I can't have that happen. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy called Russell Brunson, okay? If you've been in the internet marketing space for any period of time, you should have heard of him, okay? Really cool guy, really down to earth. And if not, you should check him out. His stuff is awesome, okay? Well, I remember him telling this story about a chiropractor friend of his who came to him with a really heavy heart. And, you know, he was telling Russell his woes about how everything in his business was going under and how he was in trouble and that he just needed to talk. And so they drove to his practice and started talking. And Russell's friend was telling him how he didn't have enough money to pay his bills, the rent, how he hadn't taken a paycheck in a year. And, you know, all the scary stuff that can happen, you know, when people are starting a business or just running a business. And, you know, Russell just felt sick for him. And his friend said, you know, Russell, just give me the magic marketing trick that is going to take me to the next level. And, you know, Russell looked at him and said, you know, look, I don't have a magic trick for you, man. But look, what's the worst case scenario? Okay. If your whole business disappeared, what's the worst case scenario? And he said, well, the worst case scenario, I'd go bankrupt. And Russell said, okay, then what? His friend said, well, if I go bankrupt, I'd have to move. Russell said, okay. His friend said, well, my in-laws would think less of me. And he went through a list of all the things that could happen in a similar fashion to what I taught you in the accelerated fear formula. And he went through all the fears that he had in his head, all the fears of why he was scared. And Russell took what he said and said to him, you know, you want to know the reason your business isn't successful? Those fears are so real for you that you're scared to take that step. If you take that step, then all those fears could come true, right? So the only way to move forward is you need to look at those fears in the eye, look at the worst case scenario, and just be completely okay with it. Because until you are, you won't be able to move. And that moment was a defining point in Russell's friend's career. That's when it changed and he was able to move forward and have success. So look at the worst that can happen, okay? And if you're okay with that happening, you have everything you need to start moving forward. I mean, we as humans, we buy courses, we do all these things to go forward. But the biggest problem is we have momentum in some areas, but not in others. And it's like being in a car and you have your foot on the accelerator. The engine is roaring. You know, the wheels are spinning, but your foot's just on the other brake. You're not going anywhere. You know, you've got your foot on both pedals. You need to take your foot off the brake so you can move forward. And the foot on the brake is you not being okay with the worst scenario happening. Okay? So what you want to do is, if you have to, listen to last week's session. Okay? The champion state of mind again. Listen to that and get your foot off the pedal. So, okay, let's get into business now. Okay, so we're gonna start to prepare building habit number two now. Okay, so we've started with habit number one, but we're gonna be going to sort of prep for habit number two, to automate action for income generation. Now, for the last 9 to 18 days, you've been building a permanent hardwired doer's pattern for the long term, right? You've been programming yourself with the doer's mind pattern, listening to the epic secret, the accelerated fear formula, reading the duty method, writing goals down, visualizing emotionally, okay? And now we're going to kick it up a gear and begin a new part of habit one, which is to override fear and control your emotions. And we're going to practice the next 9 days, okay? While keeping what you have been doing going, okay? Now, as we mentioned, we're going to start preparing to build habit number two, to automate action for income generation. Remember in Procrastination Annihilation Blueprint, we talked about having a clear vision and breaking it down into achievable steps, okay? We called that chunking. And we said that your vision needed to be in line with your core values and in line with the core values of those you serve. And you need to find out how they want it delivered. And once you have that figured, you've got that all that figured out, then you need to find out what action step will have the biggest impact the fastest so that you can serve those people. And finally, pick a cash generating habit. So let's just go over that again. So step one is getting a clear vision. Two, breaking it down into chunks. Three, getting your core values figured out. Four, finding out the values of those you want to serve. Five, how they want it delivered. Okay, you've got to find out. Do they want, you know, a course? Do they want to come to a seminar? How do they want you to deliver it? And then six, you know, what will have the biggest impact the fastest? Right? So you've got to look at where exactly are you in your stage. Maybe if you don't have a cervix product or service, then you need to survey people and find out what people want and create a product, okay? Maybe you might want to accept orders in advance to help fund things. And then maybe you can, if you're past that stage, you actually have a product or a service, well, then the next step is to create the sales material. If you've already created the sales material, the next step is to market the sales material. If you've already started marketing the sales material, then you need to start optimizing the sales material to get better performance out of it, okay? If you're already optimizing things, then you need to create upsells, right? And if you've already created the upsells, you know, to actually maximize the customer value, then you can look at maximizing the exposure. Maybe, you know, getting your marketing out in more places. Now that you've optimized it, you're in a position where you can pretty much put it in front of anybody. You might need to tweak things for the audience slightly, but you're able to maximize exposure, you know, with maybe joint ventures, search engine optimization. You can hire that out. I don't ever recommend doing that yourself. You'll waste a lot of time. If you're insistent on doing SEO, get somebody else to do it. You as the entrepreneur should be creating content to sell. Let somebody else do that. PPC, social media, publications, direct mail, radio, TV, you know, whatever it is, you need to find some kind of way of maximizing your exposure, okay? So Once you're doing that, you pretty much know where you need to be. And so you need to basically, follow up and, you know, with people and, you know, find out what else it is that they want to get from you. And then we create the process and start going through that again. All right. So that's, steps 1 to 6. And you basically need to pick a cash generating habit. So you see where I talked about maximizing exposure? Well, pick what it is that you want to do to maximize exposing your content. Pick one thing and just hammer that hard. Really, really put so much effort into it. Get really good at it. Pick one and keep grinding at it. Keep grinding at it and you will start to see some really good results, okay? Now, once you've picked the cash generating habit, then we can really develop habit one, okay? So we want to override fear and control your emotions, okay? Once you actually know what it is that you need to be actually doing, then you've got to make sure that you can override the fear of doing it. And we're going to kick it up a gear, right? So we've already been preparing our minds for the long term to have, you know, a doer's mind pattern. And we're actually going to look now at overriding the fear of doing the cash generating activity and turning it into cash. So we learned in PAB that there is a step that you can take. There are four steps that you can take, the four step system in 5 minutes, where you can basically immediately override fear so you can take action in spite of anything you fear or anything you hate. And so whenever negative emotions scare you, you just follow these steps to master your emotions, right? And the first one is to recognize, hey, I'm having a negative emotion and it's trying to keep me comfortable, right? And you have to just remind yourself, you know, fear is just an electrical chemical signal in my brain. This is only going to last for 90 seconds, okay? Because that's how long most emotions actually last. So that's you just recognizing that, right? Then you begin the reframe, okay? So you can read the duty method. You can read through the 5 questions, you know, what's the worst case scenario kind of thing. You reading the duty method, it reminds you of, you know, your duty to the people that you actually need to serve. And by switching your focus, you realize how much, you know, it's not about you, it's about them, you know. So how dare you not step forward? And, you know, you just remind yourself, you can do all these or you can just do one. The one that I like to use the most is, you know, I just remember that I'm just out here testing, especially if I'm trying something new. I just remember, you know what, I'm just running a test to find out what works. All right. And then I'm going to figure out what works or doesn't work. And then I'm going to optimize it. Okay. And failure, actually, incidentally, is what I want. Failure is awesome, okay? Because it's going to get me to where I want. I'm going to find out what does work. And, you know, the fear I'm feeling right now, it's actually a green light indicating my next step. And I need to remember that, you know, comfort is the enemy of achievement, and I want to achieve things. So let's go ahead and do this. And then you can release the tension you're feeling. Just take 10 deep breaths, reset the chemicals in your brain, you'll begin to feel different. And then you begin to retrain your mind. You just remove time, right? And you do the income generating activity immediately, okay? You don't think, you don't plan, you just do it, okay? And within 5 minutes of starting, you'll actually feel like doing what you're doing and you'll continue. Now, I'll just tell you, the 4-step system can actually be just 3 steps. Sometimes I don't even do the 10 breaths. In fact, most of the time it's like this is happening within seconds in my head. It's literally like, okay, I'm having a negative emotion right now. All right. It's trying to keep me comfortable. It's just fear. It's just an electrical chemical signal in my brain. It's not even real, right? All right. So look, failure is what I want. I'm scared of failing. Okay. Well, awesome. I need failure because that's going to get me what I want. And this fear I'm feeling right now, it's a green light indicating my next step. And, you know, me wanting to be comfortable, look, man, that's just the enemy of my achievement. Okay. And then immediately I just start doing it. Within 5 minutes, I actually feel like doing it. I'm in the mood for it now. Then I just keep doing it. And then most of the time when I'm onto it, I actually find I have to, it's difficult to pull me away from actually doing the thing. And so you create the new comfort zone, right? So you only need to change the belief enough. Okay. When you're doing the reframe, you only need to change the belief enough so that it stops limiting you, so that you can, get into action, right? So that's a very, very important thing to remember. You only need to change the belief enough so that it stops limiting you, so that you get into action towards the things that you want in your life and away from the things you want to avoid. Okay. So that's the first and the second component of the habit of controlling your emotions and overriding fear. So now you want to look at how you will make certain that this habit becomes automatic and inevitable. Okay. So as we've become accustomed to doing, you need to set up your environment for success by identifying what it is that you will need to do your habit, what you will need to add in your thinking and in your environment, and what you'll need to remove in your environment. And it's imperative that you start these new habits early in the day when you still have willpower. If you start to do these important things at the same time every day, you'll get into a routine. Okay. And routines are habits. Okay. At first, you'll have to think about doing it. And then soon you won't have to at all. It will become automatic. And by regularly repeating the same thing at the same time specifically, okay, and you do this daily, then you'll be able to build these habits. So now you'll have that first and second and final component of habit one, override fear and control your emotions. So what we're doing here at this point is, well, you're already reading and listening. You're already writing your goals down and visualizing emotionally. Okay. So you're building out the long-term part of, the habit of overriding fear. And now we're going to build the immediate overriding of fear for when you actually need it the most, whenever negative emotions are trying to scare you. Okay. You go through the four steps, and I've put them, here. In your little exercise sheet. All you got to do, I mean, this one, there's no real time to put down for when you're doing it necessarily, because ultimately you're just deploying it when it actually needs to be deployed. So it's more of a, you know, you call on it in an emergency sort of thing. Okay. So that's all that you're going to be doing. That's all you're going to be using it for. So that's the only time you need to use it. So the only difference now between what you were doing and what you were doing before is you're going to read and listen as you've been doing. You keep doing that. You're going to be writing your goals down and visualizing emotionally. You have the instructions for when and how to do that. And, you know, after you've picked the cash generating habit, which will have the biggest impact, whether it's creating the product or whatever it is that you're going to do, that's what you need to do right now. And when you feel the fear for doing it, you just go ahead and do it, right? So whenever you're going to do it, you need to remember, remove the distractions or whatever it is that you find that, you know, is the thing that is maybe the comfort zone for you. Make sure you keep that thing far away from you. Anything you need to add new in your environment, make sure you put a reminder somewhere to remind you of these four steps or the three steps, if you're going to use those. You know, and just make sure that you've got something that reminds you. Okay, so write down where you're going to place it. Maybe you're going to place something on your phone or your card or something that's going to be around the thing that you need to do, so that you can actually have it in place to remind you to use these four steps. Okay. Now, you're also going to promise someone something that you would hate to give away, maybe $1,000, if you don't prove to them that you've done the exercise every day for the next 90 days or the next 9 days for this part, if you want. But, you know, we want to keep you consistent. So you can put down, you know, the activity that you're, the cash generating habit that you're going to be generating. And you just say to someone, hey, if I don't do this, I'm going to write you a check right now. In fact, I'm going to send you this check. And, what I want you to do is hold this check. And if in 90 days, I have not been doing this thing every day, then you can cash the check, right? And make sure this person will hold you accountable. So write down who that person will be and what you will promise them, and make sure that they have, they have what's necessary, the check. You can even write it for them and send it to them, and then they'll be able to cash in your check if you don't do it. Okay, so add a screenshot of your email promising them this so you can't back out. Hold yourself accountable, okay? So I will see you on session number 4. So I will see you in the next 9 days. Have fun. Bye-bye.